Angelo Acerbi for Fred Film Radio. We are still in Torino at the 32nd Torino Film Festival, and we're here with the crew from Demand, John Magary, the director, and Mina Joseph, the producer. Hello, how are you?
Hi.
Good.
Great.
My first question is, I was trying to find a way to tell you the story of the movie, which is not easy. And the easiest is to say the story of these two brothers that are forced to live together. And that's it. But the movie is much, much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of the people and of kind of a feeling of a, let's say, community that they're trying to build up or mm-hmm. they're trying to rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell us about that?
It's funny. We were just discussing the structure of the film. It's in some ways, it's very simple to describe what it's about, but it doesn't really tell you what the movie is at all. You kind of have to see it to really kind of understand what we're doing.
The synopsis makes it sound like so many movies you've
seen
before.
So many movies you've seen before, right. But yeah. It's not.
Our synopsis doesn't help us describe
it. Sort of a cliche of American independent cinema, two brothers coming together. And
an exploration of family is how it might be described, but it
every single description is a little chunk of it, but it doesn't give the old
picture. It's more of an excavation of a family.
And so, I feel like the important thing is just the experience of actually watching it and I think in some ways when we were writing it and when I was directing and writing the script, resistance was a driving force, kind of resisting resolution, resisting kind of like bring narrative orientation, sometimes in ways that made it in the edit kind of difficult. We realized I should have maybe been a little bit more clear about or a little bit more I don't know. Just mechanical about certain things. I think we were trying
to
very
mechanical.
Yeah,
in a different.
But
way.
How did you get to that specific story? I mean, did you come from your personal experience, people you know, or just?
I have an older brother, and it's he's sort of like Matt, sort of not like Matt. We're actually kind of composites. I mean, they're both sort of composites of us. The story behind when we came up with the story, it was a. We basically wanted to make something smaller. I had a script that was set in New Orleans that I had workshopped at the Sundance Labs and stuff. And it was just very big. And it became clear that it was too big. And so I didn't have much faith left that I could make it anymore. And so we got together and said, like, well, what's a small story? We'll set it with this. It's set in our apartment. We actually shot in our apartment. No. So we'll set it in our apartment. That'll be easy. And then, you know,
was it easy?
No, exactly.
Well,
it was quite a long shoot. I mean, it was 25 days.
You and
days.
Russ both have brothers. You started the story with a friend of ours who's a twin.
He's a twin brother.
And John has a strong relationship with his brother. So I think the two of them sort of started talking about that and that was sort of the nugget that started the film.
Mm-hmm.
But this kind of central organizing principle, you mentioned the idea of community, but I mean, the film kind of works as a funnel where it starts with all of New York City in the apartment. I mean, it's a film very much about space.
Yeah.
And then it sort of funnels down into the situation where the two brothers, there's no place to hide. It's just the two of them sort of facing off between one another.
Actually, what really intrigued me was the narrative rhythm, which is kind of weird in terms of not understandable from the very beginning, because the very beginning there is this long sequence of the party which makes your mind to one specific kind of potential development and then it totally turns away. But that scene must have been like hell to shoot it, isn't it?
We thought it was going to be hell to shoot it, but it actually, we put it off to the third week of production. It was our biggest risk in terms of the production because narratively it's completely inessential to have a scene that's 20 minutes long in the party.
Yeah.
But sort of for the experience of the film, it was important. And so it was. We shot it over 4 nights in our apartment. Our neighbors kind of got tired of it, but luckily by the end. We saved it for the end. And many of the actors, you know, we shot it in New York, and there are so many talented stage actors and film actors. So we populated the entire film, with the exception of 5 background performers, with actual, you know, actors and trained theater performers. And so they all kind of knew one another, and there was kind of a great spirit there, especially when Austin Pendleton, who's kind of
the older actor,
yeah.
He's very well respected in
Very well known
too. And very well known. We're so lucky to have him. But he, his presence also sort of made it was almost like everyone sort of huddled around the fire and he was telling the story. The way that scene really reflected exactly kind of the feeling that everyone had.
And he's seven. You know, he's 72 years old, and he's staying up all night.
No one can complain when Austin.
The fact of that scene was that it was presenting every single character, but I was personally expecting that something would have happened there.
Mm-hmm.
But then it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of startling in terms of.
And in some ways, like I think one of the kind of more specific personal things created in that scene is like the coming together of brothers where they see each other and then they really try hard to not talk to each other. And so I think that's to me defines kind of brotherhood is like kind of like trying not to make like eye contact and trying not to have talk about anything real.
Exactly. To stay like on the very surface.
Keep it on the surface because you know once you go a little deeper than the surface it might explode.
There was one thing that struck me in terms of production. The sound design. The sound design was amazing by the fact that very often the surrounding sounds were covering basically the actual dialogues as like they were like submerged by reality. Was it made for that? I mean, am I that clever? Or
I think definitely. I think that's something we wanted to...
Like a density.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Parties are very tricky, so are bar scenes, because, you know, bars are, it's for me personally, it's very hard for me to hear people talking at a bar.
I agree completely.
And to kind of represent it in a way that, like, you can still hear what they're saying, but still know that, you know, they're sort of barely catching. But it was very tricky in the mix, especially, like, trying to kind of create that balance.
But that was very well done for me. It really gave that kind of feel and be a little bit, you know, detached. I mean, there, but not there, you know? I have a question for the producer. How did you produce it? I mean, how was it easy to, or it was not easy to produce it, to raise it money and to make the movie?
We wrote this, as John said, to... create something that was makeable because we both have other projects that require more resources. Mm-hmm. And once we wrote it and were presenting it to people, people would see the script and they'd either say, oh, this is way too big or way too small for us. So we wrote this little thing that suddenly people were like, can you make it for half the budget that you're making? For it took a year and a half to raise the money and find investors. And, we were really trying to be very careful. We knew what we were making. We wanted to be responsible with our resources. And the film... for a small film has over 10 investors. So it's a lot of different people putting in a sort of a smaller investment. One of the big pieces was finally putting Josh Lucas in that lead. And that was very helpful in sort of finalizing, the financing, but none of it was any it wasn't financed in any traditional way. I mean, it was people that were excited about the project and about John and about
One last question very fast. The title. You can play with the title a lot. It can mean a lot of things. Was it made on purpose? Because it's the man that could be healing. Even if there's not that much healing in the movie, but still there is some. And if you move letters, you can change. You can have different.
That's true.
Different meaning.
We just discussed this actually.
And did you make it on purpose or it just came up at the end? They say, oh wow.
No, it's actually it was a.
Found the title before we finished.
Before we finished the script,
Yeah.
And there's I think there is a kind of elasticity to the word that I really like. Usually when we tell people what the title is, they think it's the men. So we have to tell them, no, mend. You know, basically. And, you know, you take off the M and it's the end. And there's something, I don't know, there's just something very blunt and plain about that word and evocative in a way that I feel like, I think the movie is about repairing and attempts to repair.
Or yearning to repair.
Yearning
it's a yearning
to repair.
For a mend.
Yeah, a constant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, physically they're constantly being cut and stuff and trying to repair that and trying to heal.
That was a very clever choice.
Oh, thanks. I try to be clever.
Okay, thanks a lot to John Magri and Mina Joseph for The Mend. It's Angelo Cerbi from the Torino Film Festival for Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.